Keep young and beautiful. It's your duty to be beautiful. Keep young and beautiful if you want to be loved.
You know you need a holiday when it's August. All your neighbours are away in a villa in Tuscany and you're trotting up and down the street looking after their cats. Why me? I depressingly wonder as I open yet another smelly tin of organic duck's doings for tittles, middles and piddles at number 23. There's never any gratitude, just rabid hunger noises, since I tend to leave it a few days at a time before I do my rounds. Part forgetful and part resentment that I too am not in the Tuscan villa. But then holidays have become a stressful topic in our house. In fact, whenever it's discussed, the word baggage springs to mind. And I'm not talking the tartan hold-all variety. I'm talking Phil's mother. We just have to say the word holiday and then the word Muriel, Phil's mother, and we're at it like piddles and tittles up the road. I mean, I know everyone's got to have a holiday. Otherwise, what does one talk to one's hairdresser about? But somehow another 2 weeks in Lanzarote with Muriel in our timeshare self-catering duplex complex does not scream libidinal reawakening, which frankly is what I'm after, and I don't mind who knows it. I just want the chance to have 2 weeks with no phone, no sheets to change and no plumber to get up for and what else? Oh, yes, Phil. I mean, I know once the sun starts tinkering with our hitherto dormant vitamin E drive, we'll be turned into a veritable lioness and lion, respectively. It's that, or put up with 52 weeks of his headaches, which have an uncanny knack of appearing just after news night, which can't entirely be due to Jeremy Paxman, and must be more to do with the fact that we're both in the bed together in our PJs. I decided to consult my thus far unopened personal relationship manual, purchased during my self-empowerment phase when I toyed with becoming a marriage guidance counsellor. It was while I was considering the questions on the chapter Keeping a Mature Marriage Fresh, Some Practical Tips, I realised I was more in need of actually receiving the counselling than giving it.
Watch what you're doing with that Horlicks, Phil. No one would believe it if you gave me third-degree burns from a comfort drink.
Just trying to dissolve the headaches, dear.
Oh, put it down and let me still your mind with these inspiring personal growth maxims by Tony Bernstein.
Can I just have an aspirin with water, then?
No. Now, do you feel tired before you go to bed?
Yes.
No. Do you both wear nightwear which has more than 100% cotton jersey mix in it?
Yes.
Yes. Does the female partner choose the male partner's socks and underwear and lay them out for him the next day?
No.
No? Oh, is that good or bad, do you think?
Well, it's good, I expect. It means the man's autonomy is still intact.
Ooh. Meaning choosing your own pants for the office gives you a certain independence? Or, as they say in the glossary here, an emotional power base?
Possibly. On the other hand, it could simply mean that Tony is talking rubbish.
Now, keeping mature love fresh can be facilitated.
What?
Oh, sorry. Keeping mature love fresh can be facilitated by any of the following actions. One, a weekend for two in Paris.
Well, they're not going to recommend a weekend for three, are they? Unless they're including swingers in their dodgy readership group.
Two, don your latest leisure outfit, having prepared your spouse a tinkly drink for his return from work.
Could be tempting. Mind you, your gardening trousers might not do it for everyone. Not with that stirrup legging effect.
Three, experiment with fruit and yoghurt in an interesting and novel way. Ooh, which do you think?
I'm happy with your fruit salads as they are. The last time you experimented, I broke a tooth on that caramelised topping.
Out of the other two, then?
Well, I think we can let the stirrup leggings option slide without much difficulty, don't you?
I wouldn't fight for them either, no.
We've still got those two vouchers of my mother's for the Eurostar.
No, she said she'd been saving them for her and a friend.
She hasn't got any friends, so she might as well give them to us. Especially since we took her to Lanzarote again last year.
It's all making sense now. That's why I was feeling depressed about our summer holiday. Our timeshare with your mother in Lanzarote.
Night.
No, keep the light on, will you, darling? I'd like to see when I have my nightmare. Might keep the horrors to a minimum.
Holidays should be a time of switching off and hopefully, in my case, switching on, big time with Phil. If only he'd leave his headaches at home along with these milky drinks he seems addicted to. We should both be sitting out under the Spanish stars, being serenaded by the local football team or gambling along the sand, dodging all the plastic bottles on the beach. Anything, as long as it's not sitting bunched up on our 4-foot balcony being mesmerised by his mother's crocheting technique. I think it's decided, then. Paris for us, while we give Granny a holiday she can't refuse at the same time.
There's something you want to tell me, Mum?
About you or about me?
About you.
Wait. You're asking me, your mother, to talk to you about me. This can't be right.
Exactly. You're not going on a Club 70 holiday, Mum. You can't be.
Why not?
You can't be that old. Unless your passport's a forgery and my whole life's been a lie. Please say you haven't got any galoshes. I won't live it down.
I haven't.
Rain hat?
No.
Fold away all-weather brolly with matching travel rug?
No.
Blow-up pillow with fleece-lined slouch socks for air travel?
The slouch socks came free in a cracker. I didn't buy them.
So you are going, then. Senior singles in Provence, an orgy of vineyards with wheelchair access to most tasting barrels on site.
For Granny.
Oh. Why?
Because she might like to have a holiday with other like-minded people.
Well, being wheeled across acres of bumpy tram lines and forced to taste a few drops of fermented berries.
Why not?
Well, what if she wants to stay in the coach? I would.
Well, you're not going, are you?
Oh, I'm probably too young for all that excitement.
That's what I thought. About your dad and me, I mean. Much too young. So, while she's making nice new old friends, hopefully, we'll be free to go off to Paris and, boogie.
You're doing what in Paris?
Boogie. It's what we did there last time.
Why?
Because, George, when you get to our age, your father and I want to be, well, alone to remember.
No, no, I don't mean having sex again after a long break due to the familiarity of married life. I mean, why are you booking the Club 70 thing for Granny?
Because I know Phil won't agree to go to Paris on her Eurostar vouchers unless we give her a holiday at the same time.
Well, that's not fair.
No, life's not fair.
I mean, if you're going away, who's going to do the shopping?
You.
Well, I'll have to have a party then to justify the shopping.
Not a party, George.
Small party?
How small?
Two people?
Oh, fine.
Plus some of their other friends, just so the first two don't feel lonely or isolated.
Phil's mother didn't seem too overwhelmed at the prospect of being given the opportunity to be whizzed round a few vineyards in the company of elderly strangers. Instead, she decided to make a case for using up her own vouchers, since this would be more frugal, she said. I told her to live a little instead. In fact, she could live a lot, as far as I was concerned, as long as she left Phil and me alone for a week. After all, I had been honing my love handles with a rather effective new hip and thigh hugger from M&S in readiness. Pity to waste it.
Are you sure you've got everything?
Well, you should know. You packed it all. And there was no need to go overboard on the wet wipes. I'm not going to dribble.
I just thought, you know, if you were tasting a nice Beaujolais on the coach and there was a crash, I mean a sudden stop. Well, you don't want to be worrying about dry cleaning. Not when you want to concentrate on making new friends.
That's not a condition of going, is it? Making friends? I'm only going because you'll be away at the same time and who'll take me to my chiropody sessions. Fancy stealing me vouchers like that.
We borrowed them, Mother, on a basis of no win, no fee. If we have a bad time, we'll buy you some more.
Well, I'll expect a couple in first class as soon as I get back, then.
I must say, your fellow travellers all look really interesting. Some of them. I don't think that chap with the blazer and moustache has anything to worry about. Must be a street performer.
He's got the seat next to me. He's already introduced himself while you were fussing with me bag. I'll be surprised if we get to Calais without an angina attack. Let's hope it won't be mine.
But I think you've got a good deal, Mum. A luxury hotel with a week of free booze and helpers everywhere.
Oh, who wants to be pushed about by a load of manic redcoats that want to sing all the time?
Phone if you've got a problem, then.
But what if you switched off?
Try email. We won't be checking them while we're away.
Paris was everything I expected it to be, and more. I expected the Buffy car to have run out of sandwiches in the first hour, as well as get stuck for 3 hours in the tunnel due to signal failure, making us arrive late, tired and hungry, as well as losing our baggage at the other end. But I didn't expect our room to be double booked and have to find other accommodation in the Gare du Nord at the last minute. That really was a surprise. In the event, we were offered a room on the top floor, no lift, and without breakfast, so we decided to go off to see some museums before depressing ourselves by climbing the 5 étages with no baggage, just to see how very small the room probably was. We decided to trust that our bags might turn up in a fatalistic sort of way. It was that or buy more pants, and we just felt too depressed for that kind of thing.
Could things be worse, do you think, Phil?
We could have been robbed and tortured in broad daylight.
Huh. On the other hand, we could be having champagne in the hotel room you booked so efficiently.
It's as much a mystery to me as it is to you. At least I've got a blister on my foot now to distract me from our earlier disappointment.
Why are you wearing those sandals, Phil? Makes you look like a shepherd.
I feel like a shepherd.
waiting for the angel Gabriel to give me a sign.
Well, it was at this point that we spotted one of those tour guys waving a handkerchief enthusiastically in front of a crowd of people in Dayglow waterproofs. We decided this was the sign and went to join them because at least it would stop us from having to deal with our own company, which was frankly becoming more frosty by the minute. Perhaps we could make up a foursome with another couple from Swindon and hide our pain with a shared baguette. But once the guide led us inside the Rodin Musée, things took a slight turn for the better. We could now think about something else, apart from Phil's blisters and a top-floor hotel room with flies, and get stuck into admiring bodies instead, even if they were only marble.
Oh, look, Phil, I love this one. The kiss. I used to have a poster of it before I realised posters were tantamount to having G-plan furniture and puffs. It's so passionate.
Him or her?
Both. Well, he's certainly very large, isn't he?
What do you mean, large?
I mean, just look at the size of his...
Please. I know my mother's not here, but...
I was going to say hands. They're completely out of proportion to his...
Thank you. She's a bit of all right as well, I have to say.
Charming.
Well, you're not jealous of a piece of marble, are you?
Well, yes, I am, actually. Aren't you?
Well, he is very big. All round. I think I need to lie down, actually.
Luckily, our baggage had been taken up to our room, which proved to be marginally bigger than a matchbox, but with no flies, and one enormous mirror positioned at the foot of the bed, making it very hard to, well, get away from ourselves, as it were. And once we got over the shock, we found going to bed without Newsnight for the first time, and in the altogether, a very different experience.
Do you like your poussin au caviar, madame?
Mais oui. Je suis more than contente. Eh bien.
I didn't realise you still spoke French after all these years. Et les vacances sont pas aussi terribles que ça, hein?
I don't.
Don't what?
Speak French.
Oh, forgot to switch it off.
You better answer it. Might be George needing to know how to turn the kettle on.
Bonsoir.
Oh, you are funny, Phil.
Mum, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Jim and me decided to play truant and get back early. I wanted to introduce him to me lovely grandson.
Could Jim be the one...
Yes, that's him. The blazer. In fact, he's very quick thinking for an oldster.
Is he now?
Yes. He sorted out the problem with the police for you.
The police?
With George.
What problem? It's Mother about George and the police.
Granny? What's happened?
No, Jim sorted it. He spoke with the police.
What police?
Well, George's party got a bit out of hand, apparently. Some gnomes at number 23 have been defaced or something, but I'm sure it was an accident.
Well, away breaks can bring with them all sorts of perks, I've discovered. So while we're still winning, I've booked a couple of seats to Turin for £9.99. I think the tickets were cheap because Turin looks like it's in the middle of nowhere. And once we've checked out that shroud, there won't be much else to do, except check out the mirror situation in the hotel, which suits me. Oh, refill and his headaches. Apparently, he says he developed a thing about Jeremy Paxman's ties. The zigzag patterns appeared to forge a stigmatic response, which led to a minor fusion around the forehead. Of course, I don't believe him for a second, but the lie show's willing, which is the main thing. You know what they say, if the body is weak, the spirit is willing. Well, this body is very weak, so you've got to have a spirit that goes like a donkey.
Keep young and beautiful. It's your duty to be beautiful. That's right, girls, keep young.
In All Change, Helen was played by Helen Lederer. Phil was played by Stephen Moore. Yolanda was Tracy Ann Oberlin. And George was Tom George. It was written by Helen Lederer and produced by Sally Avens.